Good morning, sisters, brothers, and friends. For 4 months, we have been talking about the commitment and glory of the harvest. I have learned a lot sharing the word with you. When we began last December 29, we never thought how the world was going to change for all inhabitants of this planet. I was supposed to leave Costa Rica yesterday, but our plans are changed in a sudden. That's why the word says in James 4:15, listen, those of you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know that will happen tomorrow. What will happen tomorrow? Instead, you should say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. In our first class, we studied about the parable of the sower in Mark 4:8. And we learned in verse 11 that we, true followers of Christ, are given the secrets of the kingdom. We learned how to break up the unplowed ground, Hosea 10, 12, and 13. And we understood how this ground represents our heart. And it has to be prepared as soil. We talked about the word of God that is like a sword, Hebrews 4:12, alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. If we let the owner of the vineyard to prune our hearts, minds, and everything in us, so that we can remain connected to the vine, Jesus, then we will bear fruit. From a little seed, we develop to be oaks of righteousness. This is great. We are changed into sowers who reproduce seeds and fruit. We become the Lord's planting, His property. What for? For the display of His glory. Isaiah 61:3. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 9:37-38, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Our commitment as Christians is to be those workers, sowers, and pickers also. The Great Commission, as many have said, has become the Great Omission. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18 on, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So as we have said many times, it doesn't matter the situation we are undergoing. It doesn't matter the circumstances. He, the one that is faithful, has promised to be with us always, to the very end of the age. So this is a time very special. And it's very special for us to do as the Lord commanded us. You don't have to invite people to go to church now. It is as easy as to send a link, an audio, even a post. I think this is the time for us to be evangelists. Yes, exactly. That's what I meant, evangelists. Let's not say we don't have that gift. Because some people have told me, no, I cannot talk, you know, I cannot share the word because I'm not an evangelist and that is a gift. No, I'm not talking about that. All of us were given the privilege to testify about our great God. And if we don't take advantage of this time to be light and salt, to spread the kingdom, there won't be another opportunity better than this one. Sometimes we don't know what to say. People sometimes tell me, but I don't know what to say. I don't know how to begin. Well, if we don't know what to say, let's just use the word. That's the important thing. You know that if you read even a psalm or any other part of the scripture, the Holy Spirit will talk to you. And once we have the word, we can share it. We can read a proverb every day, for example. You know there are 31 chapters, proverbs, one for every day. For example, today is Sunday 19th. Let's see what this scripture says. Let's take just one verse, verse 16. It says, whoever keeps commandments keeps their life. Isn't this a precious promise for today? That's the whole message. Our lives are kept. And we can repeat this until it becomes rhema, until we write it, carve it in our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. You know, the word can be logos. That means that's the general word of God that communicates his ability to do something or his general will on a matter. But rhema is the word the Holy Spirit quickens to a specific person for a specific situation. And I'm sure, and I know that you're also sure, that the Holy Spirit that is always, you know, interceding for us and claiming with unspeakable words, he has messages for us, for each one of us individually, you know, personally. So talking to Pastor about Psalm 77:6, she explained to me the meaning of ponder. I know that you know, but I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to say it because that was new for me. Ponder means to make a diligent search. That's exactly what our spirit does when we go beyond reading. And it goes even beyond meditating. You know, the word is alive and it becomes living rivers of life. You can study verses 17 and 23 by yourselves and you'll find many more promises. And you can read the whole Psalm 77. I'm sure the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you as he talked to me. As David used to order his soul, praise the Lord. There was an order. I think that David got up in the morning and he saw himself maybe in a mirror. And the first thing he used to do was to talk to himself. Praise the Lord, my soul. He talked to his soul. He said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Doesn't matter what the situation is. Even surrounded by enemies, praise the Lord. It was an order he gave to his soul. And we can order our souls to praise and our spirits to ponder the word, our mind to demolish arguments against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We can order ourselves to trust in our keeper. We can repeat every day, I am what the word says I am. I am able to do what the word says I can do. I possess what the word says I was given. And I am going to the place where the word says I live eternally. In the middle of this situation, God is still the same. He's our good Father. His love has not diminished. His promises have not been revoked. He's calling us no matter our condition. He himself keeps on saying, "Come on, let us settle the matter. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land." Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? You will eat the good things of the land. There are still good things of the land for us. People are saying there won't be food or there won't be resources. You know what people say. And we must decide who we listen to. The unbelievers, what the world is saying, or our God, what the word of God says. That time may come, yeah, the time where there won't be anything. It may come, it's gonna come. But the Bible says we won't be here by that time. And that's glorious. As David said, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing." Psalms 37, 25 and 26. How many promises? That's part of the glory of the harvest. You know, many people are getting crazy in isolation. Many are depressed, fearful, disheartened, because they don't know what to do with their lives. They have not met their Creator, the giver of life. The Lord will say that every knee will bow before Him and every tongue will acknowledge Him as God. But to finish, let me say this. We, His children, children of God, the people of God, we can say, as David said, "I remain confident on this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Psalms 27, 13, 14. God bless you all.